Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Qala Allah ta'ala fi shani habibi wal Qur'an al-Majid, fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'alan nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli 'ala sayyidina Muhammad wa 'ala ali sayyidina wa sanadana wa shafi'ana wa habibana wa maulana Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Faqad qala Allahu ta'ala fil Qur'anil Majid, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara وقودها الناس والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: كلكم راء وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My respected ulama kiram, elders and brothers in Islam, first and foremost, I find it very difficult to say or to speak to you, especially in the presence of our respected Maulana, Maulana Yunus Patel Sahab, Damat Barakatuhum. He is our senior. And Maulana told me, Maulana Shabir Sahab, that Hazrat Maulana is over here also. But it is a hukum of Maulana Sahab. Inshallah, I will try to say a few words, a few thoughts that come to my mind. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it so that we all benefit. Respected brothers, this is a very, very prominent ayah of the Quran. We hear this ayah. This is the ayah from Surah Tahrim in the 28th para. And a simple translation of this ayah will go like this: that, O believers, save yourselves and save your families from a fire whose fuel is people and stone. And on this fire, they are angels who are strong and stern, and they do not disobey their Lord, and they do what Allah had ordered them to do. This is a simple translation. We read this ayah, but this ayah has very great meaning, and it affects every aspect and facet of our life. Brothers, if you take the word save, the word qu in Arabic means to save. A similar word to save in the English language, we would use the word preserve, maintain, look after. This gives you an approximate meaning or a close meaning to the word save. And in our experiences, in our environment, we encounter saving, look aftering, maintaining in every facet of our life. This building that we are sitting in, brothers, there are so many thousand elements at the moment trying to destroy this building. There's so much of things in the environment. There is air, there is the wind, there is rust, there is so many other chemicals that are moving around and trying to destroy this particular building that we are sitting in. And if no action is taken, and if no effort is brought, then eventually you'll find that the carpets are going to perish. The wall, the color of the wall, the texture of the wall, that is also going to go. And eventually the roof will crumple over a period of time. So there is constant effort in preserving and in maintaining this particular building. And we live in a life of cause and effect. We take a knife, that knife, you place it onto an apple, you press, it's a cause. The effect will be the apple will be cut. And we experience this day in and day out. There is a cause, there is an effect. We read in the biography of Nelson Mandela, he writes that when he was running away from the security police at a time when he was regarded to be the Black Pimpernel, and the whole country, all the police force was looking for him, he says that he took refuge at that time in a so-called white area. And he tried to hide himself away. But then he developed a taste, or he had an urging to have sour milk. And amongst the blacks, sour milk is part of the diet. And it so happened that he took a bowl of milk and he kept it on the windowsill. He then writes there, he says that the curtains were closed, the windows were closed, curtains were drawn, and there was no way somebody could find out that this person is hiding here, right in the prime white area, the whole country, the police force is looking for him. He writes that one day while he was sitting over there, he overheard black people conversing. And they're saying, you know, this milk that we see on this windowsill over here, this is not the white man's milk. This is our culture that's over here. Because no white man will take the milk and put it on the sill and make that into mass. So when he overheard this, and when his protectors came back, he said, please move me away from here, because there is already an indication, somebody knows that there is a black person staying over here. So please move me away. So brothers, what I'm trying to bring upon, the point is this, that this is milk, okay? The irony of the situation is, here is a person trying to save his life, but then he also the other irony of it is that the milk is also being trying to be preserved, trying to be saved. But now it's a choice he has to take. Either he has his milk or he loses his life. And this is of something, brothers, that we talk of imperishables, that a change can come about. You have a cause, you have an effect. Likewise, brothers, there are so many other things. There are so many factors. If you move away from the perishables, and as I explained to you, when you go on to something which is solid, it does have an effect. Okay? Everything, if there is something that's going to have an effect upon it, there is a cause. Now, brothers, if you move away slightly from there and try to understand and come to something which is a bit more complex, something which is going to move, something which is not static. All these things we see, they don't move. Stone does not move. The milk won't move. But something which has movement, and now you come to insan. Definitely, whatever happens in an environment, whatever we're going to see, whatever we're going to hear, whatever we're going to taste, and I'm now indicating to our five senses, through the medium of our five senses, definitely there is going to be effect upon our body. Whether we like it or whether we don't like it, whether we are conscious or whether we are unconscious of it, it is definitely going to have an effect upon you. You see something with your eyes, it has an effect. You hear something with your ears, it has an effect. Brothers, once somebody made a statement, he says, you know, he can't seem to understand his hadith over here, that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was lying under a tree, and a certain kafir came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then he had the sword right in front of him, and said, oh Muhammad, who's going to save you now? Like a person having the gun in front of you and say, right, hands up, he's about to shoot, who's going to save you? And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam say, Allah. And the person's his sword fell down. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they have that sword over there, now put the sword tips. And now who's going to save you? He says, no, Ya Rasulullah. He says, O Prophet, there's nobody can save me besides you. He says, I can't seem to understand that. I mean, there's something illogical about it. My dear friends, sometimes, you know, when you pick up the phone and you talk to a certain company, and if this lady that is there as a receptionist, the way she will welcome you, eventually your hair will stand also, my dear brothers. That is a reality. If that is the voice of a female, of a human, what do you think when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the word Allah, with that conviction, with that strength, with that faith? We're just lucky that the sword fell down. That person could have perished by saying Allah itself. So brothers, as I'm explaining to you this, that definitely on something which is not static, on human being, it has effect. There are effects, we are finding it. As I'm talking to you, you are looking at me, I'm talking. There is a certain response inside you. There are emotions inside us. And we are feeling, certain time we find we are sad, then we find that we are happy. These are emotions. We have to now see what effect this has upon us. So brothers, we try to think that you write a sign over here, a black mark. What effect that will have? Definitely it has a mark. A person once came He said to a person, you know, you talk of things which are physical, and science is always requesting physical evidence. You send something, you have a theory, prove it. When you talk of the metaphysical, of things higher than what we normally experience, you say, no, at this stage of year, we cannot understand. It's not to the standard of what the American Medical Society wants. We don't understand that. So a lot of times, we find a person might question, he says, Maulana, when I'm sick, I come to you, to give me a certain taweez. And therein you write certain words over there, certain numbers, or sometimes certain letters over there, and you expect me to be better with that. I can't seem to understand that. So he tell the person, explain to him, he say, my friend, if you go to your bank machine, and if you have 50,000 rand balance, you know what you have as credit balance, as CR. And mistakenly, if that machine says 50,000 rand DR, with a slight difference of the C to the D, what effect that will that have upon you? Your blood pressure will go up. You won't be able to sleep. Now, if this is the effect, my dear brothers, of a small digit, of a drop of ink, then what do you think, brothers, is the effect of the Quran? A lot of times, you know, we find people say, Maulana, I've got this problem, I'm seeing a certain person, that person, no. What we need to do is that, read, if this is the effect of insan, the word of insan, the pen of an insan can have that effect, then what do you think is the effect of the Quran? That is why, brothers, alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give jazaya khair to our ulama kiram and to the buzurgan deen. They have shown us, you know, like the manzil. We're reading about Qulub al-Falaq, Qulub al-Nas, Qulub al-Wahad, Qulub al-Kafir, Ayat al-Kursi. Keep on reading this, brothers. This will save us from all types of difficulties, all types of trauma, all types of evils. As I was carrying on, brothers, and telling you that we talk of saving. Who? The word of the Quran is to save. And I explained to you that in saving, there are categories of saving. There are aspects in saving. There's something which is static. There's something which is non-static. Then again, brothers, if we understand that this particular building that we are sitting in now, it is possible that this building can be demolished, that this building can be brought down to dust in a matter of seconds or in a matter of minutes. Now you might ask, how is that possible? We know today, brothers, that there is people who are involved in demolition. They know where to place strategically certain type of dynamite or certain type of explosives. And they will place it in such a place that in few seconds, this whole building will crumple. And the building next door, not even a glass will shatter. We know about it. And we see it, we are experiencing it, and we know it. Likewise, brothers, they are the enemies of Islam also too, who are so clued up and have so much of experience, and so great is their enmity and so great is their knowledge of Islam itself. They know for a fact that as there are certain weak points, or there are certain vulnerable points, or there is certain part of the skeleton or the structure of Islam that they will try to bring down, and bring down the structure of Islam. Time and time again, we hear our brothers talking about the difficulties and the fitna of, for example, Shiaism, or, for example, of Qadianism. Respected brothers, if you try to understand, when the British were ruling India at that time, and the British motto is divided at emperor, you let the people stay divided. Don't bring them united. Once they are united, then they're going to be a force against you and they will be a threat against you. So what they do, they bring a person like Ghulam Mirza Qadiani. Okay. They make him the agent. They pay him a salary. Or they pay him a bonus. Whatever you can call it. What he does, he knows the strategic area of a Muslim. And then, the belief of a mu'min, the belief of a Muslim is this, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Khatam al-Nabiyin. He is Khatam al-Nabiyin. Absolute. It's a finality. It's a truth. We got to believe it. But what happens? They move the goalpost very slowly. Okay? They move the goalpost very slowly and say, no, well, it could be that there is a finality, but then there is, as you get a real prophet, then you get a metaphysical prophet, and all different variations to try and destroy a person's iman. My dear brothers, when you're talking of saving, brothers, there are so many aspects in saving. We talked about something which is perishable. To save something which is perishable is difficult. Something which is static, it is difficult. Something which is moving, it is more difficult. It is more complex. My dear friends, we know for a fact, today, we're living in a world. The media is surrounding us. The voices are coming to us through all our five senses. And then a person says, my dear friend, if you want to save yourself, if you want to have safe sex, then you must use a condom. And this, the whole world is giving the same message. The message is being permeated from a source which is trying to destroy not only Islam, it's trying to destroy humanity. And it is so absurd, this message. It is so illogical. And it is so foolish. It is like that situation. I remember when I was in primary school, when these two scoundrels and rogues came and told the king that we are going to make for you such a cloth or such a cloth that nobody has ever worn this before. And the story then goes that they started making clothes out of invisible air and saying this is the thread and this is the cloth. And eventually when the king came out with all his clothes, and everybody said, what a beautiful garment the king is wearing. Till eventually a child came and said, the king is naked. Now this is definitely a reality as we are seeing it today, my dear brothers, that wherein you are promoting, you are telling the society, you are telling humanity, that if you want to save yourself, if you want to enjoy yourself, if you want procreation, then use a condom. That's going to assist you. The absurdity of this is like this, brothers, as an example, is telling a person, eat an orange with a peel on. That's how absurd it is. Eat an orange with the peel on it and taste it. This is how absurd it is. The absurdity of it is like this, brothers, that there is a person in the Sahara Desert. He has never seen the sea in his life. He has always heard about the sea. And now you are telling him, when he is coming now, he's saying, one day I'm going to show you the sea. And when he is coming towards the sea, he's about to dip his legs into the sea and have that experience and have that feeling of that water rushing. And it is going to be a new experience for him. And tell him, wait. Now you put on a gumboots and feel the sea. This is how absurd it is, my dear brothers. For humanity to save themselves, my dear brothers, it has to be a change of our behavior. It has to be a change of our attitude. It has to be a change of our living style. Wherein Islam says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. And don't go near to zina. It is an abomination. It is dirt. It is evil. And the worst of ways. Then only, my dear brothers, we are going to enjoy our life. Then only humanity is going to be saved. As I explained to you, brothers, يَا أَيُّوَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. O people, save yourselves. How many things are we going to save? To save something which is perishable? To save something which cannot move? To save something that can move? How much is a person going to save? And this is the injunction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we got to save ourselves. Save ourselves. Dear brothers, when you read the story of history, and the story of the history of Turkey, and the tragedy that took place over there, brothers, it is so difficult, it is so traumatic, it is so painful that we are feeling the pain today. And we have gone back. We are put into such difficulty. It's, at times we think it is irreversible to go back to the trauma and to the problem created by the leader of Turkey at that time. Dear brothers, there was a time when the enemies of Islam, for them to destroy Islam, the first thing that they did was either they killed the Muslims. They said, right, destroy these people. When that failed, they say, well, then destroy their books. And history tells us that when the Khans, Genghis Khan, during his period, thousands of books were thrown into the river near Baghdad, and the water of the river sometimes was black and sometimes was red, with the blood of the people, and sometimes black. It was through the books, the ink of the books. But what happened, brothers, is this. When Kemal Ataturk, when he came over as the leader of Turkey, and brothers, if his intention was to promote the Turkish people, to make them a force, to make them a force to reckon with as a strength, we could understand, well, his aspiration and his intention was good. But the modus that he went through, it was so difficult, it hurt all the Muslims. What happened, my dear brothers, is that he changed the script. The Turkish language is written from right to left. The original Turkish language is written from right to left. He changed the script and brought in the Roman script, written now from left to right. Resulting which, my dear brothers, over three generations, over four generations, there are people born in Turkey today who speak Turkish, who understand Turkish. Okay, but the problem is this, that they have forgotten their heritage, they have forgotten their culture, they have forgotten what their forefathers had to say, what their ulama have to say, what the Sufia of Konya had to say. They have forgotten that. They are not able to read what their forefathers have to say, because this man changed the tracks. Simple as that. So, when Allah Ta'ala says, my dear brothers, Qu anfusakum, save yourselves and save your families, brothers, it means as you are going to save the milk, as you are going to save the building, then also try to save your culture. Save your tongue. Save your language. And all this will come about, my dear brothers. All this will come about with ilm. All this will come about with knowledge. If we have knowledge, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us this the success, and will be a benefit for the whole of humankind. It is said, when Jawaharlal Nehru asked, we had a meeting with Mao Zedong, and then there was the talk. Nehru then told him that, he said, you know, if we take this action over here, then 10 million people are going to die with an atom bomb. He said, so what? That was his reaction. So what? Brothers, these people, they were the decision makers at that time. They were also human beings. Okay. And that is why, if we have to compare our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and such love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for every human being in this world, leave alone the Muslims only, but I'm talking about of every human being in this world over here, there is nothing in comparison. There is nothing you can show as to the love that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had, and in the way that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing to us as to how to save ourselves. Brothers, we don't have much time, but I just want to conclude by saying this. Maulana Sayyid Abul Hassan Ali Nadwi, tamam barakatuhum, when somebody asked him for advice, and in a very short, Hazrat Kuch, he said, Nasihat Pesh Kijiye Mukhtasar. He said, in today's time, the Jewish intellect and the Christian strength have combined together, brothers, to destroy Islam and to destroy humanity. And we are the only people that are going to save humanity, my brothers. I make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that we save ourselves, consider the opportunities that we have, the Quran that is being read, the zikr majalis that we have over here. These are all the kitatul, these are all the fortresses that are going to save us. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.